We're turning in the Word of God to the book of Deuteronomy, the chapter 11, Deuteronomy, chapter 11. I'm going to read from the opening verse of this chapter together. And so it's Deuteronomy chapter number 11, and let's begin our reading at the verse number 1 of the chapter. Therefore, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments alway. And know ye this day, for I speak not with your children, which have not known and which have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, his stretched out arm, and his miracles and his acts which he did in the midst of Egypt, unto Pharaoh the king of Egypt, and unto all his land, what he did unto the army of Egypt, unto their horses and to their chariots, how he made the water of the Red Sea to overflow them as they pursued after you, and how the Lord hath destroyed them unto this day, and what he did unto you in the wilderness, until ye came into this place, and what he did unto Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, the son of Reuben, how the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their households and their tents, and all their substance that was in their possession in the midst of all Israel. But your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which he did. Therefore shall ye keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that ye may be strong and go in and possess the land whither ye go to possess it, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give unto them and to their seed, a land that floweth with milk and honey. For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt, from whence ye came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. But the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in its due season, the first rain, the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in the fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there shall be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, unless ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Amen, and we'll end at the verse 17. This Bible reading. Let's briefly unite in prayer together. Loving Father, thou dost know the lateness of the hour, maybe the tiredness of the body. And yet, Lord, we pray for these moments that thou wilt refresh our hearts as we meet around the open book. We thank thee for the Word of God, that great unchangeable, that great fixed constant in this world. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. And therefore, Lord, we come to an unchanging word, and we bless thee for the open book. Bless our waiting souls, and grant, Lord, a word fitly spoken, and may it be as a nail in a sure place. Help the preacher, fill him with thy spirit, we pray. Bless those who watch in, and Lord, those who have gathered here this evening, those who have gathered with us, even in the car park. Bless their hearts, we pray, and encourage our souls as we consider our great God. We pray these are petitions and prayers, and in through our Savior's precious and holy name. Amen and amen. As we come to the closing moments of another year, there is one verse of Scripture that I want us to meditate upon this evening in this watch night service, namely the verse number 12 of Deuteronomy and the chapter 11. Now these words that we find here are the verse 12 of Deuteronomy chapter 11. These words that I refer to really refer to and relate to the land of Israel. Moses said concerning the land of promise, a land that was yet still to be conquered and claimed by the children of Israel, that it was a land which the Lord thy God careth for. He goes on to say, the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. Now you'll recount that Moses spoke these words when the children of Israel were enduring their wilderness wanderings. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and the verse number 1 tells us, these be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side of Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain over against the Red Sea, between Paran and Tophiel and Laban and Hazeroth and Dizahab. Wanting to encourage the children of Israel and the nation, Moses informs them about some things about the land that they were going to possess. This was because Moses had been given a sight of that land, and therefore it had been revealed to him what the land of Israel was going to be like. He tells them in the verse number 9 of this particular chapter, the chapter 11, that it was a land that floweth with milk and honey. He goes on to say in the verse number 10 that it's a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. Well, here in the verse number 12, he says it is a land which the Lord thy God careth for. And as I thought of these words, I thought, could they not as aptly be applied to us as the children of God? Instead of reading the words a land, could we not put in their place a people which the Lord thy God careth for? The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon them from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. And brethren and sisters, we would have biblical warrant to actually apply that and to make such a replacement, because that term land, that Hebrew term, refers not only to the physical landscape of a country, but it also refers to the inhabitants or the people of the land. And therefore, if we consider it in this way, as we will do so this evening, I see in these words of this particular text, God's care and God's contemplation of his people. God's care and God's contemplation of his people. And really, that's the two points that I want to draw to your attention to, and to develop those two thoughts for the moments that we have together, in the hope that as we do so, that your heart will be encouraged as you say goodbye to an old year, and then the will of God welcome in a new year. I want you then to note firstly from these words, God's care of his people. Notice that first statement, a land or a people which the Lord thy God careth for. We as the people of God are most certainly a people whom God the Lord careth for. There are two grounds, there are two premises upon which I can base the truthfulness of a statement, that statement that I've just made, that we as God's people are a people that God careth for. Two premises upon which I can base the truthfulness of that particular statement. Number one, first of all, a recalling of certain scriptures prove to us that we as God's people are a people that God careth for. A review of Scripture proves that we are a people which the Lord God careth for. According to the psalmist, we're told that we are daily loaded with benefits. Every day, our lives are loaded with benefits from the good and gracious hand of our loving Heavenly Father. We are reminded in the book of Lamentations that His mercies are new every morning, that His compassions they fail not, and that great is our God's faithfulness. According to Jesus Christ Himself, He said that if we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all other things will be added unto us. According to the Apostle Paul, we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. But it is Peter's words in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, that really reveal the care that God has for His people. Because there the Apostle Peter pens the words, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. He careth for you. There's a truth to carry us into 2023. A truth to sustain us during the unknown that is before us in a new year in the will of God in a few moments' time. The truth that He careth, our God careth for us. You'll certainly need that truth in the year that lies before us. We'll need it whenever troubles arise within our homes and in our families. We'll need that truth to sustain us when sickness lays hold upon these physical bodies of mere clay. We'll need that truth that He careth for me. Whenever death robs us of loved ones, maybe a mother, maybe a father, a brother, a sister, a son or a daughter in 2023. We'll need that truth to uphold us and to sustain us and to strengthen us and to steady us when disappointments will cross our path. We'll need to be reminded of the truth that He careth. He careth for you. This promise in Holy Scripture reminds and proves God's care for us. But secondly, a review of our own personal lives proves that we are a people which the Lord God careth for. A review of our own personal lives proves that we are a people which the Lord God careth for. Brethren and sisters, take a moment. Take a moment and consider all that God has done for you in the last 24 hours. And would you not have to say that I am one whom the Lord God careth for? And having done that, then take some more moments and recall to your mind all that God has done for you in the last week and then in the last month. And having done that, would you not have to say once again that I am one whom the Lord God careth for? And then take some extra moments and consider all that God has done for you in the last 365 days of the year 2022. And in doing so, would you not have to say once again that I am one whom the Lord God careth for? And then extrapolate that into your life from the moment of your conversion, even before it, from the moment of your conception, and understand that God has cared for you. He's cared for you from eternity past. For we're told that He has loved us with an everlasting love. He loved us before we were ever formed in our mother's womb. He loved us in eternity past. We were the people given unto Christ by the Father for His reward for His sufferings upon the cross of Calvary. And as we consider all of the way that God has led us and all that God has done for us, we have to come to the end of an old year and have to acknowledge publicly and unashamedly that I am one whom the Lord God has cared for. God has created us. He has died for us. He has risen again from the dead for us. He has called us to be His children. He has redeemed us. He has cleansed us. And thus we cannot but acknowledge that He has cared for us. And having cared for us up until this moment of time, beloved, we can be assured on the fact that God is unchangeable, that He is immutable, that He will continue to care for us throughout all of life's journey, however long or short that will be for us. He'll continue to care for us because He has done so in the past. And His purposes have not changed with respect to us. He will continually care for us and care for you throughout all of life's journey. We are a people which the Lord God careth for. I want to develop that little thought of God's care for a few moments. I want you to notice that God's care for us, first of all, is perpetual. You see, God's care of His children, it doesn't come in fits and starts. It's not that one day He cares for us and the next day that He doesn't care for us. No, God's care for us is ongoing. It is perpetual. It is unceasing. It is never ending. It is incessant. From the moment of our conception, He cares for us, forming and fashioning those bodily parts in the womb of our mother, in the inward parts the psalmist speaks of there in that great psalm, the fashioning of the child within the womb. God showed His care in doing that. And then through infancy and adolescence and adulthood, He cares for us. He watches over us. He preserves us. He provides for us. And then whenever the wrinkles begin to appear and the gray hairs begin to sprout, He still cares for us. And whenever we'll reach the valley of the shadow of death, His care for us will not cease. For as the shepherd, He will bring us safely through the valley of the shadow of death, and He'll bring us safely into heaven itself. But His care for us will not even end there. But His care will continue throughout all the eons of eternity. He'll continually care for us. Let me read to you concerning that care over there in the book of the Revelation, in the chapter number 7. In the verses 16 and 17, and they shall hunger no more, speaking of those that have come out of great tribulation and washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and they serve Him day and night in His temple. And He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them, and they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun lighten them, nor any heat, for the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them. And shall lead them in unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Here the Lamb continues to care for the children, for His people, for the redeemed, for the glorified, and throughout all of eternity He'll continually care for us. What a wonderful God we have. One preacher said, God will never care for you less than He does at present. When old age weakens you, when needs pinch you, when death appears just before you, He will care for you as much as He did in youth or as He does at this moment. Oh, what a comfort it is, brethren and sisters, as we go out into an unknown future, that God's care for us will never end. It'll never cease because it is a perpetual care. God's care, secondly, is a paternal care. A paternal care. You see, the care that we come to experience as members of God's family is a care of that resembles the care of a father for their child. The child whom the father tenderly loves and whose welfare He feels the deepest concern for. Such a care is the deepest kind of care possible. It's this kind of care, this paternal care, that is at the fore of the Savior's words in His Sermon on the Mount. addressing his disciples in Matthew 6, verse 31 and 32. He says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or withal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And therefore, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. Knowing that we have need of all things, and then promising to supply those needs, shows us the care that our Heavenly Father has for us. It is a paternal care, the care of a family member towards one within the family, a father caring for his child. God's care for us is personal. It's personal. When we trace through the Bible the care of God, we come to see that there are many things that God cares for. We see that his care embraces the smallest atom to the mightiest planetary body. From the smallest atom to the largest and mightiest planetary body. Hebrews 1 verse 3 informs us that our God upholds all things by the word of his power. Colossians chapter 1, 17 tells us that by him all things consist. And so all that is in this universe is under his care. The sea is under his care. Psalm 89 verse 9, thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof rise, thou stillest them. He cares for the flowers and the grass of the field. The Savior encouraged his listeners there on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. What were they to consider? They were to consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. He cares for the animals, whether they find their homes in the sky or on land or in the sea. Psalm 147 verse 9, he giveth to the beast his food and to the young ravens which cry. Did the Savior not say concerning the sparrows that the fall of the sparrow is known by the Father? And yet he said, are ye not much more value than many sparrows? And so we have, from the smallest atom to the largest planetary body, from the waves of the sea, the flowers of the field, the animals that populate the world. And so we see the Bible reminding us of God's care of his creation. But we come to see most frequently in Scripture how God cares for man. Man, God cares for. Even in his common grace, he cares for man. We read of the Savior's words. He said that God cared for all men, making his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. And so in his common grace, he cares for all men. He provides food for all. You may say, but there's famine in the land and in the nations. There's famine in the land and in the nations because there's such waste in the Western world. If all the food that was in this world was spread evenly, I believe all men and all women, boys and girls, would be fed sumptuously. Seed time and harvest, he said, would not cease. And yet, though God cares for all men, there is a more specific care that God affords to those whom he has redeemed with his precious blood. And it is those who Peter was referring to when he writes, he careth for you. The redeemed. the redeemed of God. He cares for you. You know, the wonderful thing is that each of God's children are cared for in the exact same way. I'm not cared for more than you, and you're not cared for more than me. Just because I'm a minister, I tell you, He loves you as He loves me. He cares for you as much as He cares for me. His is a personal care. It is a care that is fitted, that is suitable to your need. Whatever that need is, as you've come to God's house tonight, I don't know what your need is, but thank God He cares for you, and it's personal for you, suited for you, tailored for you, as it were, measured and fitted for you, His care. God personally cares for you. Will you not let that thrill your heart? As you say goodbye to this old year, will you not let that stir your soul, revive your heart, and ignite, as it were, a flame of love towards Christ at this late hour of the night? He cares for me, if only it had been me, if only I was the only one in this earth, He would care for me, because I'm His child. Oh, what a wonderful thought it is. His care for us, perpetual, paternal, personal, it's powerful. In the words of Deuteronomy 11, verse 12, it is the Lord thy God who careth for us. Who is this? This is Jehovah. This is the great I Am. This is the one who is invested with infinite power and inexhaustible resources. This is the one who cares for me. It's not that He is some kind of weak individual or being who cares for me. This is the Almighty. This is the one who is all-powerful. And since that is the case, will there ever be a need that arises in our lives that He is not able to supply? I think not. Will there ever be a difficulty in life Providence will send our way that will cause God to be at a loss as how to deal with that particular problem? I think not. His care of us is a care that is undergirded and supported by His omnipotence. It is a care that is invested with power. Power to meet us at the very point of need. In answering the question, who is it that cares for us? The Reverend James Smith, he gave the following answer. He says, it is the Lord Almighty, the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. It is He whom the angels obey, the seraphim adore, and all creation glorifies. It is the Lord who is so great that we have no adequate conception of His greatness. It is He who is so good that it is impossible fully to set forth His goodness. It is He who is so glorious that no sinner can see His face and live. It is He who created all things with His word. It is He who governs all things by His wisdom. It is He who upholds all things by His power. It is He whose resources are infinite. It is He whose compassions is superb. It is He whose patience is without limit. It is He who cares for us. Brethren and sisters, it is Jehovah, the God of covenant, who cares for us. And since He does so, with unerring wisdom, we can then cast our cares upon Him, because He cares for us. Well, may the Lord help us to believe the precious truth that God cares for us as we pass through the next year. And as we pass through this next year, may we do so under the impression that I, as God's redeemed child, am the object of God's tender, perfect, and ceaseless care. Not only do we see in our text God's care of His people, we also see God's contemplation of His people. Because Moses goes on to say in our text in the verse 12, the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, or upon them, from the beginning of the year even on to the end of the year. taking these words and again applying them to the believer, we find here that God's eyes are always upon his children. We are the apple of his eye. That's how we're described, the apple of his eye. These words bring to our attention the thought that God watches over me, that he contemplates all that befalls me with exact knowledge, that he beholds me as his child with infinite delight. You know, there are many texts of Scripture that we could speak to you about with regard to God's contemplation of his people. 2 Chronicles 16 verse 9 is one of those verses. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. Or there in Psalm 34 in the verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. And Peter takes that text from Psalm 34, and he's, as it were, puts it into his epistle, and he puts it like this: for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. For us as human beings, our eyes can only behold an infinite number of things. Even here I can't see everybody. I have to look in particular places to see you. I can't behold all. But brethren and sisters, God's eyes can observe all things. And therefore, there is nothing for him. It is nothing for him to have his eye upon every one of his children at the exact same time. Wherever they're found in this world's vast domain, God's eye is on them. God's eye is on them. The truth that the eyes of the Lord are upon us is both comforting and challenging. Comforting in the sense that nothing that befalls us goes unnoticed by our God. Do you remember the children of Israel there in the house of bondage, under the heel of their Egyptian oppressors? We're told that God appeared to Moses in the burning bush, from where he would commission Moses to go before Pharaoh and demand deliverance of God's covenant people. When doing that, God said this to Moses over there in Exodus 3 verses 7 and 8. I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. And I have heard their cry and their cry by the reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them. God saw the suffering of his people, and that sight compelled him to intervene on their behalf. Now, there's a glorious thought for the Church of Christ in 2022, moving into 2023. God sees our affliction, and God can intervene again. And how we need it. We need God to come down and deliver us. God hasn't changed despite the passing of millennia since that event in Israel's history. He still sees the affliction of his people. The suffering saint is known to God, for his eye is upon them. And as for the sorrowing believer, it doesn't go unnoticed by God either. And whatever our state is, God, brethren and sisters, God is across the detail. He's across the detail of all that troubles us, all that concerns us, all that perplexes us, all that causes us to fear. And that is surely comforting. His contemplation of me, he knows all about me. And yet while it's comforting, it's also challenging. Challenging in the sense that there's nothing that we do or nothing that we say that is unknown to God. You know, whenever you think about it, there really, in this world, is no such thing. There's no such thing as absolute secrecy in the world. You'll have files stamped upon them, top secret. They'll be kept in vaults, and they'll be put under, as it were, some kind of law that they cannot be opened to maybe 20, 30, 50 years. And they're kept away from the public gaze and view. But really, no such thing as absolute secrecy, because all things are naked. before him with whom we have to do. God sees all things. In all that we do, we always have an ever-present spectator. One is watching us when parents are not. Whenever the church fellowship and the minister and spiritual oversight are not present, God has saw it all. We're living ever in his presence. All things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. The thought that God's eye is on me, ever on me, always on me. Living in light of that truth, it will check and curb any inclination that I have to sin. The truth that there is one who is always near me, observing all that I do, will keep us back from committing evil. Was that not the very thing that kept Joseph back from sinning with Potiphar's wife? The thought that God was watching him. When approached by Potiphar's wife, Joseph refused her sinful advances with the words, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? God's watching. And my father's hundreds of miles away. But God is here, and I cannot sin." Oh, let us be constantly impressed with the truth as Hagar was. Thou, God, seest me. Let us live in the awareness that God sees me when I struggle with temptation, when I yield to it, and when I fall into sin. That he sees me when I battle with my inward corruptions, when I strive against my evil habits and endeavor to do that which is right. He sees me, and he sees me whenever I conquer and whenever I overcome the world and the flesh and the devil. He sees my desires. He sees and hears my sighs. He listens to my prayers. Certainly, it's a wonderful thought to know that God is abreast of all his children's cares and concerns. None go unnoticed by him. Will there ever be a time that he will not care for me? Will there ever be a time when his contemplation of me will end? These are maybe questions that would trouble you as a Christian. Well, let God allay your fears through the word always in our text, always. And then that phrase at the end, from the beginning of the year even on to the end of the year. For that plain and pointed language of Moses indicates that there's not a single day and there's not a single hour of the day and there's not a single moment of any hour that we are removed from the eyes or the heart of our God. God will ever care for us. He will always care for us from the beginning of the year, which we've now entered, to the end of the year. He will care for me. And I will be forever upon his mind. Preaching on the first Lord's Day of the year 1867, Charles Haddon Spurgeon made the following comment, and with this I close. He said, "Last year was perhaps the gloomiest of our lives. All the newspaper summaries of 1866 are like the prophetic roll, which was written within and without with lamentations. The year is gone, and everybody is glad to think that we have entered upon a new one. Yet, who knows but what 1867 may be worse? Who can tell?" Well, brothers and sisters, let it be what God chooses it shall be. Let it be what he appoints. For there is this comfort and in the assurance that not a moment from this Sunday night on to December the 31st, 1867, shall be without the tender care of heaven. Not even for a second will the Lord remove his eyes from any one of his people. Here is good cheer for us. We will march boldly into this wilderness, for the pillar of fire and the cloud will never leave us. The manna will never cease to drop, and the rock that followed us will never cease to flow with living streams. Onward, onward, let us go, joyously confident in our God. Oh, let us do the same, brethren and sisters. Let us go joyously into 2023 with all of its uncertainties and the full assurance that we are a people which the Lord thy God will care for, because his eyes are always upon us from the beginning of the year even unto the end. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our gracious and loving Father, how thankful we are of thy care and thy continual contemplation of us. We rejoice in the truth that he careth for you and he careth for me. And we bless thy name, O God, that thou dost think upon us. Thine eye is upon us from the beginning of the year to the end. And therefore all that befalls us happens under thine all-seeing eye. Therefore, we confidently go in to this new year, blessing thy name for our God who cares and who is mindful of his people. Bless our families, our home. Bless, O God, the Church of Jesus Christ. And may, O God, thine eye be upon thy bride. Make her glorious in this new year. Grant, Lord, many to be added to the church, such as should be saved. Glorify thy Son. Restore the fallen. Save the lost. And revive the church. For we offer these our prayers and supplications in and through Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. May the Lord bless you, and we trust that you'll have a happy and a Christ-filled